Today, the anti-cash ban wave arises. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined by Robbie Barwick from the CEC. Hello, Robbie.
Hello, Martin. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. So some interesting news relating to the cash ban and the mounting opposition to it.
Absolutely. It's going viral, I think you can say. And I have to say, congratulations, but I share some of it. The last time you and I spoke together, we've had, 120,000 views, all-time DFA record, on this subject. And so, you know, you're a humble guy. I know you're not taking personal credit for it. I'm not. It really is the subject. This has gone off all over the place. Hmm. And now we're starting to see some really important media coverage for it.
Well, there's two interesting observations. The first is, of course, that a lot of the audience is actually overseas. And people have been referring me to the fact that the Fed is now talking about bringing real-time payments into the US market. And, of course, everybody's thinking, well, why is that? And, of course, it's because it links to negative interest rates. So there is a broader agenda, of course, around this. But locally here in Australia, I think we should focus on at the moment because, as you say, things have really started taking off. We had Malcolm Roberts on the Interest of the People channel at the weekend, and that's gone very well. And now other people are also falling into line as well.
Well, what I'm struck by is the people and the coverage, the people who've come out in opposition like politicians and the coverage, the tone is very forceful. And that's what you need to see. If you want a chance to fight and stop something like this, people can't be mealy-mouthed about it. So, you know, Malcolm Roberts was really strong on going after the fact that it's the government actually protects real tax evasion, right, by multinationals. It's not by individuals. And that's why One Nation is not going to let individuals be sold down the river under an excuse that's obviously a fraud. Bob Catter, the inimitable Bob Catter, has come out today with a statement where he's called this, the headline is, Catter labels cash bill a danger to our freedom greater than the danger through terrorism. And Bob Catter is someone who knows all about dangers. He's Australia's greatest crocodile expert. So if he's identifying it as a danger, this is serious. But he's gone after the civil liberties aspect of it. They can they're monitoring people. He's called it Orwellian, right? And very, very forcefully so. The Newcastle Herald gave it good coverage last week, but then today's just these two headlines that I wanted to highlight from today. One is the ABC by Nassim Kadem. Paying more than $10,000 in cash could make you a criminal under proposed law. And that's a really good headline for this kind of article because it gets right to the point and makes people think, you know, instead of thinking of it as some kind of evolution of the system, no, this is, well, why are they being so heavy-handed on this? And then the Daily Mail weighed in. Of course, that's the UK, but I think they're the second. They vie with the New York Times for being the biggest online paper in the world. Their headline today about this law in Australia is the ridiculous new laws that could see Australians jailed for paying cash sums of more than $10,000 as fears mount of a destructive recession. So they've really given it good coverage there. And that's the sort of thing that hopefully is going to get the public's attention. And our mate John Adams, he's been all over ABC today, everywhere. He's been on Perth Radio. He's now going to be on Adelaide Radio. He's going to be on your channel again. He's been on ABC News 24. And, you know, finally, today, it's getting the publicity it deserves.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting because, of course, the submission date closed last week, right? And yep. We could not get anybody within the ABC or other major media outlets to touch this over the last 2 weeks at all. Not, you know, both John and I tried quite hard. It's like, nothing to see here, nothing to see here, not important. And then all of a sudden, bingo, you know. So it's interesting to know what's changed. I guess it's probably the fact that some of the politicians have now come out against it. And also people have now seen through it in regard to, one, the civil liberties aspect. You know, this is actually a restriction on, you know, what Australians do quite often at the moment. And whilst people say, well, $10,000 is a lot of money, it isn't in some circumstances. If you are wanting to, you know, buy a second-hand car from a car yard or something like that, then you may well go down this route because you might get a better deal if you don't have to go through the banking system, because, of course, the bank charges the merchant quite a big fee to handle large transactions. So it's not surprising that they actually get better deals for cash. So there's a whole bunch of reasons why I think it's starting to take off. But I guess the point is, although the consultation period is actually now finalised, this isn't the end of the story, is it? Because effectively, you know, we're now thinking about, well, this may come back into Parliament in early September. So I guess between now and early September, the critical thing is to continue to build the opposition for this. And, you know, it is broad-based, right? So, you know, this, the accounting profession were actually pretty up against it this morning as well. And, you know, the Institute of Public Affairs, you know, there's a few different organisations who are actually coming out on various angles around civil liberties and around the fact that this is a dumb strategy. So I think it's looking quite interesting, quite positive.
It is looking quite interesting, and a lot of these organisations would, you know, if Treasury is going to take notice of anybody, they're going to take notice of them. Treasury, it's been a week since the submission deadline closed, over a week, and Treasury still hasn't reported how many submissions they've received. I think that's actually we've been through this process before. I think that's actually rather slow by them. That may reflect either, well, one or two things: not wanting the public to know, or actually having been inundated. I mean, that's a possibility as well. They don't, you know, there's a finite number of people over there working. So we're waiting to see what's happening there. But now people really need to be moving to the next phase of this, right? And the image I want to get across to people, when they think about the government and these kind of laws, you know, picture the Terminator, right? So the Terminator is not something you reason with. Right, the Terminator had this, so the government's like this machine that gets these agendas, and they're there to put it in, and they will steamroll and just barge through any opposition. That's what they're programmed to do. Right now, the reason that it works that way is because the actual members of Parliament, most of them, they represent their constituents. But they're part of these party machines, and they abrogate their responsibility to those machines. So the machine takes over, but those members of Parliament, they are answerable to the public, right? It's this question of abrogating their responsibility, which we have to change by making them, getting it through to those guys, this in their mind that, oh my goodness, there is huge opposition to this in my constituency. And if there is, I better take that opposition back to Parliament, because otherwise the machine will just barge through, right? It will knock all opposition out of the way. It will ignore everything. The media most of the time is a part of that function. And so if we're going to be the resistance to the Terminator, it's got to come from actual people now taking the opportunity between now and the 9th of September is when Parliament resumes. So that's roughly 3 weeks. Hit members of Parliament very hard. Malcolm Roberts made this point in your interview, right? He's a senator. He knows what it means. Call them. And, in fact, Malcolm suggested to people, call members of Parliament who aren't your member of Parliament, call the senators. You have to call them. Now, I want to come back to that in a minute as well, just to reemphasize that. But as part of that process, the CEC has produced another petition. And we're launching this petition today. Now, this is we've run a few petitions in a row. And so I don't want people to be confused here. The last time you and I discussed a petition, that was a petition to stop bail-in. That's still a live issue. That petition has been running for quite a while now. We want to get that introduced into Parliament, tabled in Parliament in the September sitting, right? Now, that's a formal parliamentary petition where when you've signed up on our website, we've sent you the form to physically sign and send back, because we've got to deliver physical papers with physical signatures on it to the Parliament. And that takes a while. That's an extended process, but it's worth doing because it's reflected in the Hansard, etc. What we launched today is a different kind of petition. It's change.org. Now, change.org is useful because there's nothing formal about this. The Parliament isn't formally obliged to respond to it or anything, but politicians do take notice of it, right? Because what you do when we set up the petition on change.org, you input the email of people you want contacted when every time someone signs. And so we've put in all the key members of parliament, a whole list of them, right? So all the leaders of the major parties, all the minor parties, etc., they're all there. And so every time someone signs this change.org petition to stop this cash ban law, they will get notified about that, right? And it starts that, you know, they get people in the office start saying, oh, look, there's a new petition circulating and it's on this and we're getting flooded with people signing it. So I'll just read it out. Hey, Martin, you mind?
Sure.
Okay. It's called Stop Scott Morrison from Banning Cash to Trap Australians in Banks. Scott Morrison's currency restrictions on the use of cash bill 2019 is a fraudulent assault on the freedoms of Australians. Banning cash transactions over $10,000 will not end the tax evasion and money laundering of the black economy, but will strip individuals of their rights to privacy in financial affairs and trap them in private banks, unable to escape policies such as bail-in and negative interest rates. It is outrageous that this cash ban is a recommendation of one of the big four global accounting firms, KPMG, which wrote the 2017 Black Economy Task Force report and is already lobbying for the limit to be reduced to $2,000. KPMG and its fellow big four firms are complicit in the overwhelming majority of tax evasion and money laundering, which is perpetrated by their clients in multinational banks and corporations, not by individuals using cash. If this cash ban is enacted, the government clearly intends more restrictions, as the law has been drafted so that the exemptions to the ban, such as for withdrawing cash from a bank, can be removed by the minister at any time. The private banks already impose unreasonable restrictions on the ability of Australians to access their own cash. We, the undersigned, call on Parliament to respect the right of Australians to use cash for privacy and as an alternative to the banks, scrap this bill and the cash ban policy, and crack down on the real black economy by going after multinational banks and corporations, the big four accounting firms, and the tax havens. So that's the change.org petition. We'll put the link below, but sign that, share it everywhere. Right? This is not a substitute for making your phone call, but this is a useful thing to do as well. We've gone viral. You know, our channels have set all-time records with coverage on this subject, right? People, it's finally sinking through to people that, you know, how totalitarian these measures are, and people are paying attention and don't want to lose, even if we don't use cash very much, people don't want to lose the right to use cash, right? So sometimes you want to make that choice. I don't want to use the banking system anymore. You know, I see a problem, you know, or like my attitude, the whole banking system is pretty sick. I want an alternative to it, right? And cash is that alternative. It's legal tender. It's your right as an Australian to use it. And they're just shredding that with this kind of law. People are paying attention. And if we can make this petition go viral in that way, get tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of signatures, just bombard the parliament with this in the next 3 weeks. I've never seen something like this. An issue like this, you know, with the number of conversations you and I have had about getting people going, this is really one of those times when we may be able to stop this. And if we can stop this, it will be just the beginning of a turnaround, I believe.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that the ears are open, I think, amongst the political class, based on what we're seeing so far. It's very interesting because, of course, I sent messages to a whole bunch of different senators and members of parliament. And the formulation that we got back, mostly from Labour, was just the standard one. They didn't really read it clearly. But one or two now have started to actually react a bit more thoughtfully. And so I think even there's a little crack of interest and understanding that this is important. If I count up all of the people through the various channels that comes via DFA who said that they're going to submit or did submit through the process, that's more than 250. Right, so I reckon that Treasury may have a bit of a problem with its with a long list, you know. And some of them may be, you know, similar and repeats and what have you. But that, I think that's quite significant. The other thing is that the ABC ran a poll today on their news network.
It's already at 97%.
Oh, okay.
It's remarkable. Once this poll was publicised, everyone has jumped on. I've been monitoring it. It's now 97%, and I can't imagine that going down. Right. This is going to be a big poll. In fact, we should put the link on that as well, because people should, I don't know when they're going to take the poll down, but have your say on that too, right? It's overwhelming what the public really want here when it comes to this.
Absolutely. No, it is very, very clear. So we need to strike while the iron's hot. So we'll put the link to change.org below,
Put those things there. Also, I just want to make the point back on the calls. Mm. And calls are good, right? Let me give you an example of what you can do. Because, I know people can think, well, am I adequate to say this? All you're doing is expressing your own opinion. You call up the members of Parliament office. You're not going to get them on the phone. It would be a miracle if you ever did. If you demand it, go ahead. But all you got to do is say, I'm your constituent, Joe Bloggs. Do this. I'm calling to oppose this law. And if you allow this law to go through because you don't vote to stop it, right, then I'm going to vote against you. Right. Don't be partisan. Don't think, do you say that if your member of Parliament's Labor, you tell them that. If your member of Parliament's Liberal, you tell them that. You make sure you follow through on it. Then they mean it. But that call will register. I can assure you that. It's better than an email. But if that's all you can do, fine. Send an email. But a call is much better. And one thing I wanted to emphasize is, it's really good. We've got One Nation and CATA have come out against this. I think the Greens probably will, right? They understand the Greens are pretty sharp on things like the dodgy nature of the agendas coming from the big four accounting firms, etc. Right, so they'll have a sniff for that, and I think they will. Hit people like, if you're in Tasmania, hit Jackie Lambie very hard, right? This should be a no-brainer for Jackie, but we need her in her forceful style to come out as well. We need Centre Alliance. We need all the minor parties who are not beholden to the system to come out forcefully against this, because that leaves the two major parties nowhere to hide, right? So if you're in South Australia, you hit those Centre Alliance senators and Rebecca Sharkey and get them to come out against this. If you're in Tassie, hit Jackie Lambie very hard. Get her to come out against this. And let's get all those people on the same page, right? And then all the pressure will go on the major parties where it belongs, and especially not to differentiate them between too much, but if you're going to meet Labor member of Parliament, hit them very hard. Labor is in opposition. What happens in a situation like this is, for too long, Labor hasn't been in opposition, right? They have these stupid tactical ways of approaching politics, etc., right? And principle and honesty goes out the window. And what that does is it actually lets the government have a field day coming up with wedge issues for Labor. Because Labor, instead of looking at an issue on its merits, is thinking, oh, how does this play? Or, what does this trap us into, right? But on a policy like this, you can't let them get away with that. And this is the sort of thing that if they get the sense of feeling that's out there in the community and they finally do the right thing on it, right, just like Labor didn't follow through on the Royal Commission, but they did flip in 2016 and call for a Royal Commission. That's why it happened, right? When the opposition is actually in opposition, it does give the government nowhere to hide. So that's what I'm saying. Think, your calls can contribute to this increasing pressure in the right places. Right, so go hard. Sign this petition, make it go viral, share it with everyone you know, share it on Facebook, share it on Twitter, share it on Instagram, share it wherever. But then make those calls, get as many people making those calls as possible with the expectation we just might be able to do something this time and bring the pressure to bear on the right places.
Right, and two quick points. The first is we can get the phone numbers for all the politicians, right? They actually are listed, so we'll put the links through to there so you can find those numbers very easily. As you say, you won't get through to them, but you'll get through to their office and you can speak with somebody there. Second point is Michael Sukkar is the responsible minister for this particular bill, right? So he is going to need, I think, specific attention. So as well as calling your local MP and your local senators, be good to call his office too and just say, oi, we don't like this.
We want that next cabinet meeting to be one big whinge from him about his phone not working anymore. That's when you start getting it through to those guys, right? Yep. But I'm sure ScoMo is the kind of guy that, is capable of thinking, well, I didn't realise this would get this much opposition. Maybe we better think twice. Maybe he's not capable of that, but I think he might be.
Well, the point there, Robbie, is this is Quiet Australia speaking, right?
Yeah, that's
right. The point is, you know, and he's listening to Quiet Australia. Well, Quiet Australians are saying this is an erosion of civil liberties. It's doing something that is actually not Australian, and therefore it should not be allowed to continue.
Yep. And if they if you get on the phone and people say things like, oh, we don't have, you know, our MP is not directly involved in this, don't accept it. They're going to have a vote. Right, they vote, either going to vote for it or vote against it or not vote at all. Either way, they're going to be responsible for the outcome. Right, don't let them get away with those kinds of mealy mouth responses. And they find all kinds of ways to deflect. Tell them you're a Quiet Australian. They've made you use your voice and demand that they take a position on this law. Most of them are going to want to take your position. They actually are. The difference is, they're going to be thinking, oh, no, what's the party expect me to do? But the Australian Constitution doesn't mention political parties. Mm-hmm. The Australian Constitution doesn't mention the word Prime Minister. There's no such office in the Constitution. The Parliament is the individual members of Parliament representing 150 seats and the 76 senators. That's the Parliament, right? That's where the power lies. They're responsible to us. We have to make them responsible to us. And it comes down to issues like this, specific issues where people finally get involved, that gets through to them.
Yeah, this is democracy in action, Robbie. That's what it's about, isn't it?
It is.
Yep.
If we had stayed in action all along, things may not have got this bad, right?
So, good point. Well, make this an object lesson as to how politics should work.
Absolutely, absolutely. Stay engaged. And if you haven't been engaged before, get engaged on this one.
Yeah. Robbie, I appreciate your time today. As you say, really an important issue. And, you know, that door might be ajar slightly, so let's force it open and make sure that everybody understands what the Quiet Australians think about this.
Excellent. Thanks, Martin.
Thanks. Let's talk to you next time. Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. I mean, thanks for watching. I'll see you again next time.